And it is 26 minutes after the hour on a Tuesday, and joining us now from Garden Valley, Texas, is Dr. Don Clark. Don is a member of the Board of Creation Moments, a biochemist, and a vintner. We have a topic today that you picked actually a couple of weeks ago, and I found it interesting, and it has to do with raw milk and what the FDA and the government generally thinks about raw milk and some of the impediments they put in the way of purchasing raw milk. In fact, they tell you it's dangerous stuff. Is raw milk dangerous for you?
Well, that's a good question, and it's one that I think, you know, we probably discussed this topic several years ago. Is raw milk dangerous? It depends on how it's produced and how the cows are treated. Now the way raw milk is produced, maybe, you know, 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, raw milk was dangerous because we didn't have the sanitized conditions that we have now for producing milk, and in particular raw milk. A farmer that is producing raw milk today produces a product that is cleaner than your commercial pasteurized milk. And if you can find a farmer that is, and most of the farmers producing raw milk, not all of them, but most of them are organic. And so instead of feeding the cattle grain, they are pasture fed. And, you know, God created cows to eat grass. And so when you change their diet from grass to grain, and the grain that is itself genetically modified and has toxins in them, either from the bacteria or the fungus that was on the grain due to storage, or the glyphosate that's sprayed on the grain before it's harvested, that gets into the cows and obviously gets into the milk. They found that those type of cows are much less healthy than the cows that are raised on grass.
Yeah, I got some personal experience on that, too, in my Minnesota days. I don't know how I developed a taste for raw milk, but I wanted to find it. Because it might have been a result from one of our programs. But I think it was. I had to search online for a farm that produced raw milk. Because in Minnesota, which is, you know, fancies itself a dairy state, they can't advertise. And they can't sell their milk to markets. They have to sell it directly to the customer, and you have to bring your own container. And so in Minnesota, you can get raw milk, but it's very inconvenient. Now, it wasn't all that expensive, but I had to drive for 40 minutes to get to the farm and with my own container, and they'd fill it up with milk, and I could go back. And it was wonderful. No sickness resulted. It was a spotless, clean kind of operation. And they were very careful about keeping the cows clean and the milk pure. But the Dairy Association there has been in control of that for years, and they positively discriminate against organic raw milk on economic grounds. But the ruse is health grounds.
Right. Yeah, that is the ruse. And if you actually look at the data, the number of people who get sick from commercial milk versus raw milk, you'll find that there's, of course, you know, there's a larger portion of people drinking commercial milk, so you would expect a larger number. But there's many more people who get sick from commercial milk than nowadays, since we have refrigeration and sanitizing, you know, conditions. It's the raw milk dairy farmers who are producing milk that is cleaner and certainly much healthier for you than the commercial milk that's being produced.
We hear a lot about lactose intolerance from people, and I can't believe how many people say they are lactose intolerant. Could that be because they're drinking pasteurized milk?
Yes. So let's talk about pasteurized milk versus the raw milk. So when you pasteurize, the pasteurization process, you go through heating cycles where you heat up the milk and then you cool it back down and heat it up and cool it back down. And in that process, you destroy, you denature is the biochemical term for unfolding a protein, for example, is called denaturation. And so you denature proteins and you break down some of the chemical components that are in naturally in the raw milk. And those then can contribute to your allergies and immune response to the commercial milk. Interestingly enough, the raw milk has components in it that help your immune system. And not compete against your immune system like commercial milk and pasteurized milk. But raw milk has biomolecules in them, as well as immunoglobulins. So an immunoglobulin is part of your immune system. And raw milk has some immunoglobulins in them, which help in your immune system. It boosts your immune system. So people that may have food allergies, for example, to whole milk, may not have the same food allergies to properly produced raw milk as commercial milk. And so the raw milk is certainly much healthier for you, has components in it that boost your immune system as opposed to challenge your immune system. And so you may get some benefit from drinking the raw milk as opposed to the commercial milk. And these articles didn't even talk about the homogenization process. But in order to produce homogenization, you basically pass through under pressure the milk through a tiny screen, and it breaks up the fat particles into smaller fat particles. And you through that process, your body then absorbs much more fat from the milk than had it been in the natural state, which if you take raw milk and you let it sit, you're going to have cream on top. And that's a good thing because that is going to be less digestible than these micronized fat particles that are produced in the commercial milk. And so there again, there's enzymes in milk and all kinds of other things in the raw milk that may or may not get, you know, completely denatured or destroyed through the pasteurization process or through the homogenization process. There's general rule in nutrition and in food science, if you will, if you're going to be honest with yourself, eat or drink a product that is closest to the original state as possible. So we're often taught that, hey, eat raw vegetables. Eat your broccoli raw, you can eat your cauliflower raw, and your greens, you can, most of them, you can eat raw. Some of them you need to cook. But the closer you can get to the raw state, the better off you're going to be, because it contains the natural compounds that God put into the food that are beneficial for us, as opposed to us cooking them or processing them and destroying those nutrients that are in the food that are beneficial to us.
I have a question for you that relates to milk now, because I have seen commercials lately for colostrum, and it's basically being marketed to women. And I know it's important in terms of nursing babies and infants, but if you were to drink raw milk, I mean, the raw milk is made available from a cow who has given birth. They build milk in their system to feed the calves, and that's when they get milked. Is colostrum a nutrient? Is it something we're missing in pasteurized milk? Do you know?
Well, it's the first product from breast milk. So when humans have babies, their first milk is a different consistency than the rest of the milk that's going to be produced. So the colostrum is very high in antimicrobial immune boosting properties. Once you get past the initial nursing of the baby, you start producing your regular milk. And so it has, it gives the baby a boost since it's just been born and it's just been exposed to the environment. It needs a little bit more of a boost than once it starts to mature and starts to grow. So the colostrum is far richer in these proteins and these compounds that help boost the immune system and protect the baby right when they're first born.
So probably not a factor in raw milk production then.
No, not a factor in raw milk. But it's very important that if you do get raw milk, that you don't get raw milk from a place that treats their cows like they would for commercial production. Hmm. For commercial production, cows are stalled and they're not, like I said, they're fed grains as opposed to feeding them on grass because it's more efficient to do that. But it produces in the cows an acidic condition, which makes them less healthy and produces byproducts that aren't good for us to start with. And not to mention that they're not in as healthy an environment. So to keep the cows healthy, they then have to inject them with antibiotics and other things to keep them healthy in this crowded condition that they have the cows in. But if the cows are happily in a pasture and there's plenty of space between the cows, as in the natural environment that God originally created, then you have a happy cow, you have a happy milk, you have a much healthier animal, which then leads to a much healthier human.
And I should add that when I went to the organic farm and picked up my raw milk, I actually got to meet the cow.
There you go.
And they were all. Then there were a number of them just roaming free in a pasture, and they all had smiles on their faces and looked very healthy. So I built my confidence right then. And I'd like to do that here in Texas too. I imagine I can go find a farm that produces that. Trouble is, I don't want to have to drive for an hour for a quart of milk, you know?
So, right. Well, I mean, there should be a lot of farmers around your area, and you should be able to find it. We have folks near us that actually produce the raw milk and in a safe way and allow their cows to be pastured and things like that.
And I don't know if Texas regulates raw milk producers like they do in Minnesota, not being thought of as a dairy state, Texas is. So maybe a little freer and more numerous to find organic farmers who produce that for you. There's another product that is just breaking into the markets around the country, and there's an Epoch Times article that refers to it as a Trojan tomato. And it's a purple tomato. It's a GMO, genetically modified tomato. In fact, they blend it with DNA from snapdragons to give it the color, and they say it's healthier. The point is, though, it's not been tested by the FDA, because the FDA says it's just generally thought of as safe, and there's no increased risk of pests with the purple tomato, so they haven't tested it. So they're just letting it go to market, and now there are thousands of orders being filled for this, not just for grocery stores, but for private gardens. And the way people love to grow tomatoes, it's just a matter of time until you're seeing purple tomatoes, maybe in your neighbor's garden. And the question is it safe?
Well, that is the question, and they haven't tested it for safety. They have done genetic tests and DNA testing. But have they tested it in saying, okay, if an animal eats this tomato, is there any deleterious effect for eating this? Now, the company that is producing these seeds, the Norfolk Plant Services Sciences, actually in the UK, which is surprising because Europe generally doesn't like genetically modified products, they've inserted DNA, which then codes for anthocyanins, which are color compounds and are antioxidants. So the whole concept here is that, hey, we boost the antioxidants in your tomato and your food, and this is going to be healthier for you. you find the same compounds actually in wines. Speaking of red wine, for example, have anthocyanins. They're the color compounds that make wine red. And you find them in blueberries. It makes the blueberry blue, or in blackberries and things like that. Those are naturally occurring anthocyanins. So they said, well, we'll just take the gene that codes for that and we'll just insert it into the tomato gene. And voila, we got a purple tomato. And this is should be much higher in anthocyanins. But what they don't do is any type of animal studies or human studies to say, hey, are you getting any benefit from this? Is the antioxidant level really higher? And this causes me concern, as well as other people, I'm sure, causes them concern, because now humans are messing with what God created. And it kind of reminds me of Nazi Germany when they were doing all these experiments of crossbreeding from different animals and different vegetables, for example, and producing all kinds of weird stuff. We humans think that we can do a better job than what God has done. And so we typically want to mess with things that God has done in order to say, aha, we can do this better, which really puts me off, because let's just go back to nature. Let's go back.
There's a principle at work here. And if you take perfection and change it, it is something less than perfection by definition.
One would think if God wanted more anthocyanins in a tomato, he would have made it that way. And so that's not what we get in nature. And that's and of course, we've got all kinds of different colored tomatoes. You get green tomatoes and you can get different colored tomatoes. But this one is when man starts messing around, you got to wonder, are we now delving into a realm that is ultimately going to lead to our demise?
This relates neatly to Dr. Don's theory of devolution as well, because it's the same process in human DNA. With every modification in DNA, which happens generation to generation to generation, you get something less rather than something more.
The potential problem with these tomatoes are people are going to develop immunities or allergies to this new tomato, because now you've got a foreign substance in this. It's a natural compound. Anthocyanins are a natural compound, but you got DNA fragments that could possibly be generated from these types of tomatoes and other unknown compounds that can be generated that might elicit an immune response, thereby giving you an allergy. And so people wind up being sicker from eating these types of tomatoes than the hope of being in a healthier case.
Mm. Well, just like with COVID vaccines, we become the clinical study. And so everybody eat purple tomatoes, if you dare, and we'll see what happens.
Yes. Well, okay. You know, I'll wait for the heirloom product.
Yeah, I think so. Good idea. Dr. Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments. I want to mention their website to you. It is Creation Moments. It's one word, creationmoments.com. And there you'll find archives of information that help explain and present the biblical story of creation. And it's an education to go there, and you might want to spend some time on creationmoments.com. It's a ministry that's been around for what now? Since about 1991? It's older than that. It's 50 years old now, isn't it?
We had our 50th anniversary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So creationmoments.com. Don, we missed you last week. We're glad to get you back. We'll look forward to next week. Okay?
Okay. I'll be around.
Bye-bye.